Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. What a blessed opportunity we have today. Brother Moses, that's your little grandboy. I have to share what I saw while we were singing. That little fella, I don't know how old he is. 1 year old, up there in Grandpapa's arm, just gazing around at everybody with wide eyes, wondering why everybody's so excited. I thought, what a healthy atmosphere for a little baby boy. That's why we keep the little ones with us, and sometimes they scream and disrupt the services. Because they ought to be in a place where God's people are meeting with God and worshiping God. And there ought to be an awe that settles down over their heart even before they understand what is going on. They know there's something awesome going on in this place. And oh, their little spirit receives all those things even though they're 1 year old and cannot talk yet. Oh, thank God for His goodness to us. For the little pieces of wisdom that God has given us through the years, how we thank God for every one of them. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ this morning. We want to welcome the visitors that are here with us. I know I met one sister from California this morning, and who knows where else you're from. We feel honored that you would come our way, and may God's grace meet your need as you're here with us this morning. I think it's only fitting and right that we fall upon our knees in prayer, even as the song we sang says, let us seek the face of God for a blessing upon this service together as we kneel together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we join our hearts together this morning in praise and adoration to You, O God, as we have done in song. We do also upon our knees. We honor You, Lord. O Father, we join with the Africans and the Romanians who do unite their hearts together and cry out to God for a blessing upon this service. Lord, we are a needy people this morning, and we come to You hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and we plead with You, God, that You would fill us, Lord. We are not satisfied with where we are at, God. We want to go on. We want to grow. We want to receive the Word of the Lord for our hearts this morning. Father, we thank You for the precious blood of Jesus this day. Lord, we rejoice in that blood, that powerful blood. It is made a way. Yes, the fountain lies open today. There was a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, and we sit here washed in the blood of the Lamb. My God and Father, I pray, we pray, we join our hearts together. Grace this meeting with Your presence. Speak to us, O God, out of Your Word. Make every word fresh and real, and speak it to our own heart personally. By Your Spirit, God, we pray Your blessing upon everyone who speaks, every song that is called, every prayer that is prayed. O God, every word of exhortation that is given. Oh, would You breathe on every heart, dear God, Your presence this day. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I have the blessed challenge this morning of having the opening. And I want to have an opening. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Isaiah this day. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read the chapter. The title of my meditation this morning is called Quiet Time. Quiet Time. And this morning I'd like to take another look at Isaiah chapter 55. The first three verses in Isaiah are very famous verses. And they have been used many times to herald out the gospel call. Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come ye to the waters. And oh, what a blessed call that is. And that call goes out even this morning to each and every one that is here, whether you've never drank of the water of life freely before, or whether you've drank of it many times, the call goes out the same to each and every one of us. Ho, everyone who is thirsty, says the Word of God. And I believe that it's right to preach Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3, as a salvation message. But I would like to look at the chapter this morning with a little bit different light. I would like to take a devotional approach to Isaiah chapter 55 and see if we can't connect the whole chapter. Because I don't know about you, but in my own experience, as I have studied Isaiah chapter 55 or read it, I got the gospel message out of the first three verses, and the other verses seem to be by themselves. And I would like to draw them all together, I believe God does, and I would like to draw them together for us and just have a bit of a meditation, a motivational meditation, that we seek God, that we have time where we seek the face of God. You say, well, Brother Denny, you preached on that before. Well, that may be so, but it's in the Bible about 100 times, so please forgive me if I'm on the second or third time. God did it 100 times, and I haven't caught up to Him yet. But I cannot help but think that many, many of the struggling problems that we have could be settled, could be seasoned, could be cared for, could be healed with a season alone with God. So I would like us to read Isaiah chapter 55. And I would like you to ponder as we read this chapter. I would like you to think about God's Word being God's Word spoken to me. I would like us to ponder the living water being that fresh drink that we need to take every day. The bread being that living bread, that manna that we are to eat of every day. The wine, the milk, being that fresh word from God spoken to our heart, which we need each and every day in our life. I would like us to consider this passage in light of a devotional life or quiet time, however you want to say it. I sure hope that your devotional life is a quiet time. But let's just read this chapter in light of this subject. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a beautiful invitation to us this morning. Amen. And God challenges us in verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He, the Lord, will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We know this morning that the true Christian life is an ongoing life. It is a life that continually seeks after God. We know that here. We believe that. We know that to be sound theology. It's not enough to meet God 10 years ago in a certain place and not have the reality of God in my life today. It's not sound theology to look back and say 10 years ago I met the Lord, but I'm not sure where He is today, but I know I'm on my way to heaven. That's not sound theology. We know without a doubt that the Bible teaches that a true Christian life is an ongoing life. A life that is satisfied, a life that is blessed, a life that is fulfilled by an ongoing relationship with the living God. And therefore, whether we're coming the first time to the water and making or hearing the old gospel plea one more time, or whether we've been drinking of the wells of salvation for many years, the cry and the invitation is the same to all of us as we sit here today. And that's what we find in verse 1, is an invitation. I'd like us to notice that the word come appears 4 times in verse 1 through 3. And Brother Moses, this would make an excellent revival sermon. But notice the invitation. Come is the invitation. Come ye to the waters. Come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Come unto me, in verse 3, the invitation is given and by the words come 4 different times. And I cannot help but think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when He walked upon the earth. It's as if the written Word and the incarnate Word were saying the same thing. And they are, aren't they? Because our Lord Jesus, on that great day, the last day of the feast, He said unto the people, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. That's what He said. In another place in the book of John, He said, I am the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never hunger, and he that drinketh of me shall never thirst again. And again in Matthew chapter 11, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we see the invitation in Isaiah chapter 55 and the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ to be the same invitation. And that invitation is to come to God. Come to God. Come to reality. Come to His strength. Come to His blessing. Come to His wisdom. Come to His food. And let your soul be satisfied and delight in the fatness that only God can give. The invitation is given to each and every one of us. But oh, I'd like us to notice that God does qualify this invitation. He qualifies it. He says in verse 1, it's to everyone that thirsteth. There's no qualification on this invitation. It's to those that are thirsty that the invitation is given. And a little bit further down it says, it's to the poor, those who don't have any money. So if you're thirsty this morning, or you're poor this morning, or you have a blessed invitation given to you, extended to you by the Spirit of God and by the God of heaven as He sits upon His throne, and He says to you that are thirsty, and He says to you that are hungry, and He says to you that don't have any money, come. You come. Can we this morning look at this text in a devotional aspect that God says to us, whether we came 10 years ago or whether we came 1 year ago, God says to us, are you thirsty? You can come. Are you poor? You can come. You don't have any money? That's all right. You can come. You don't have to have any money. You can come. The gospel invitation is extended to each and every one of us to come and dine, for the Master calleth. Come and dine. Consider with me what Jesus is saying here. Consider what God is saying here. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What waters? We know what waters those are. They're the fountains of living waters. What did God say? My people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And so God says to us today, come to the waters, and it's not for a drink like that it is in this glass. Come ye, he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Wine and milk? Spiritual riches without money and without price. I thought to myself as I meditated upon this chapter, and may I recommend that you do that in your Bible studies? You know, you can get locked in that you only see something a certain way. But if you will take a chapter and you look at it in all of its context, and you look at it and say, now somehow this whole chapter has to fit together. It's not just scattered thoughts. It has to fit together. You will gain insights that you didn't before. And as I was meditating upon this chapter as a whole, I came to verse 2 and I thought to myself, now how do you buy something without money? Because God said, you have to buy it. But you must buy it without money. How can you buy it without money? Well, that stopped me a little. Then I began to meditate a bit. How can you buy something without money? How can you buy something without money? And then it seemed like the Lord was saying to my own heart, money is time. And time is money. And time? Oh, you have that. And you have it. We all have the same amount. Money is time. And time is money. And God says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor, your time, for that which satisfieth not? I know, we can say the old gospel call goes out to the peoples of the world. Why are you spending your money for that which satisfieth not? But I wonder this morning, can we consider this little plea, this little question to our own hearts and our lives this morning? Could not God say to us also, who live in Lancaster County, who live in America, why are you spending your money for that which will not satisfy you? And why do you spend your labor for that which is not bread? And all the spiritual truth is so clear here, because we all know that we buy bread with our money, and we bought bread with our money. Maybe this week, and we ate bread with the money that we earned. But God says to us, why are you laboring for that which is not bread? And what God is speaking about here is the spiritual riches that are in Christ Jesus. May I say it that way? The spiritual riches that are in Christ Jesus. You can't buy them with money. You can't get out your billfold and lay out the money and buy them. You can't do that. Oh, but there's a way. There's a way that you can buy the truth and sell it not. There's a way that you can buy the spiritual riches that are in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, everybody has the same bank account when we come to that. And that's with our time. With our time. I wonder, what are we buying with our time this morning? We are exhorted to come. We are exhorted to hearken. We are exhorted to eat. We are exhorted to incline our ear. We are exhorted to come unto God. We are exhorted to listen to God. We are exhorted to seek God. All of those take time. You will not do them if you do not take time. You say, but Brother Denny, I don't have any time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do have time. You do. But what are you buying with your time? That's the question that each and every one of us need to ask ourselves. What are we buying with our time? Here's a place, like so many places, where the ground is level at the cross. And it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You still get the same amount of hours each and every day. But the question is, what are we buying with our time? I thought of this. The value of my time is determined by what I get out of it. Think about that. The value of my time is determined by what I get out of it. For example, a man who makes $50 an hour values every hour in ways that a man who makes $3 an hour does not. But consider with me what you can buy for an hour of time alone with God. Can the rich man buy any more than thee? No. The rich man can buy no more than you can buy with that hour of time that you have. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, God says to us this morning as believers. And I believe that this message can be given to us this morning. And God says to us, hearken diligently unto me, O believers, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. God wants us to be fat. Fat. Not physically, but spiritually. Overloaded with the goodness of God. Overloaded with the richness of God. Overloaded with the spiritual riches that are in Christ Jesus. And yea, you can delight your soul in it. You can be delighted that you're fat in the Lord Jesus Christ. Incline your ear, God says, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Because you see, God is eternal life. When we hear, life is infused into our heart. When we hear, strength is infused into our heart. So God says to us, Hear. Hear me. Listen to me. And your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Well, I meditated upon that as I was seeing the theme of the whole. I thought about these verses. And I thought, what is God saying here? Is God saying, look how I blessed David. I promised David that I would bless him because he sought me. I will bless you because you seek me. And I have given David as a witness, as a testimony of how I bless those who seek my face. Look at the devotional life of David. What a beautiful example we have of one who sought God for living water, for bread, for wine, for milk. David is such a beautiful example to each and every one of us. The Psalms are filled with, and they flow out of David's heart of devotion with God. David knew what it was to get alone with God. David knew what it was to have quiet time. And David knew what it was to receive the blessings of God upon his life because he sought the face of God. And God has given to us David as a testimony, as a witness, as an example that we can see how God blessed David and we can follow in David's steps and know that God will pour out His mercies and His grace and cause them to be multiplied in our lives just like they were in David's life. He is an example to each and every one of us. It's worth taking the time to seek the face of God, to eat His flesh and drink His blood. It's worth the time to draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's worth the time. In verse 5, I see the fruitful influence of those who live in such a state as we're speaking about this morning. I see the fruitful influence. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Why? Because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. And simply what that verse is saying is this: when we seek the face of God continually, and we eat His flesh, and we drink His blood, and we live a life of communion with God, the glory of God will rest upon our lives, and we will have an influence in the lives of those that are around us. I believe it's the outworking of the inflow of the grace of God in the life of a believer. That influence begins to flow out of our lives. Then each and every one of us, we sit many times with a longing heart and long and desire that God would use us, that somehow God would put His hand upon us, that somehow God would use us to be a blessing to somebody else. And God says to us, ho, everyone who is thirsty, you come. Come without money and buy the riches that are in Christ Jesus without any money. And I will put a blessing, be an influence. You will be. Oh, the call comes in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And that plea goes out to each and every one of us today. But it goes out very specifically in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And the Lord will have mercy upon him, and let him return unto our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And may I say it this way? If you are sitting here today and you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you're sitting here today and you've tasted the good Word of God and you've tasted of the powers of the world to come, but today, as you sit here, reality is not there. Oh, then the cry goes out to you to forsake your own ways, because that's how you got in the situation that you're in. Because you were seeking your own ways rather than God's ways. And God's ways are very different than your ways, and we'll see that a little later on here in the text. But God says to us, and look at the motivation that God uses. I am God. I will speak to you. I will speak life into you. I will be living water to you. I will be milk to you. I will be wine to you. I will be bread to you that you will never hunger again. I will be a blessing to you. I will be strength to you. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his own ideas. So, this morning, whether we've never heard the gospel plea in our life, or whether we heard it and we responded to it and we've tasted that the Lord is good, the call still goes out to each and every one. As I said to a couple that I was counseling with this week, it doesn't matter to me what happened to you 5 years ago or 10 years ago. What matters right now is what is happening with you right now. And I think each and every one of us need to respond to that. And this is the very plea I left with the man, although I wasn't thinking of these verses, but I told him, don't stop. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop repenting until God is a living reality to you. And that's what God is saying in this verse. Look at verse 8 and 9. Can we look at it in a devotional light for a moment? God's thoughts and man's thoughts. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. They're very different. Listen, if you're going to get God's thoughts, there's two things that are going to have to happen. First of all, you're going to have to seek the face of God for God's thoughts. And second of all, you're going to have to turn away from your own thoughts. That's a response that takes place in the heart of anybody. You could be a believer for 20 years. And you come to the Word of God and you seek the face of God for God's thoughts. And when God's thoughts come, know this. They'll be much higher than yours. And many times, the first time around when God's thoughts come, we kick against them. We disagree with them. We have our own ideas. It's hard for us to hear what God is saying because our own thoughts are in the way. We must be willing to put our own thoughts away in order to understand God's thoughts. Because God's thoughts are so much higher than man's thoughts. And God's ways are so much higher than man's ways. I thought about the Scriptures over in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As I thought about man's thoughts and God's thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? They are false impressions. They are wrong thoughts. They are wrong theologies. They are wrong philosophies. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, that's God's thoughts, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's taking our thoughts and bringing them into subjection to God's thoughts. Oh, as I looked upon these verses and I meditated upon those verses about spiritual warfare, I thought to myself, you know, that is a way in which our lives can be totally changed if we come to the Word of God with a sincere and a seeking heart and hear the thoughts of God and allow those thoughts to come in and bring all of our thoughts into subjection. our lives will be changed. Because many of us in this room, we have many imaginations that are not God's imaginations. We have many ideas that are not God's ideas. We have them. We have them in our hearts and our minds. And we need to bring those thoughts and our imaginations and our ideas and bring them into subjection to the Word of God. Look at verse 10. And it's like God is pleading. God is pleading with us to seek His face. And He says, why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. And He says, why? In verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And He says, I want you to seek my face. Why? In verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth fruit and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now let's look at the picture there. We have the picture of the rain coming down. Oh, it's fresh in our hearts and our minds today, isn't it? Oh, what a beautiful reality we saw just in this last week. I remember, I don't know, was it Tuesday, whatever day it was, the day that it rained. I remember driving around, I was going to the hardware store and I was driving through the country and I was looking at all the corn. Did you look at the corn? Oh my, it was so shriveled. I looked at it and I groaned in my heart as I realized this corn won't last very many more days. It was dry. It was shriveled. It was looking brittle. It didn't look like it had any life at all in it. But oh, blessed be God, 2 hours after that rain, you could drive down through those same areas and the corn looked different in 2 hours. That's what the rain does for the plants. And God says, that's what my word will do to your heart and your life. I think of the scripture there in Hosea where it says that He shall revive us as the corn. What a beautiful illustration. We saw the corn revive. It looked like it was going to die. But God says, that's what I'll do to you when you get dry and thirsty and you don't know what to do. If you'll call upon Me and seek My face, I'll revive your life like the corn. You can go from one day to the next and be a strong, beautiful green stalk standing tall in the field. God wants to do that for us, but we have to seek His face, God says. Oh, it's beautiful. Look at verse 11. God says, just like that rain prospers when it falls upon the ground and it causes the seeds to grow and they bring forth fruit and there's food to eat and seed for the sower, which, oh, there's a whole sermon in that little verse right there. Just like that, God says, so shall My word be that goeth forth out of My mouth. Now may I say, I've read this verse all by itself many times. And I've used it, you know, when you go to New York City and you pass out the tracts, you know, and you come home saying, well, God's word will not return void. And so we passed out tracts and God's word will not return void. But I want to interject in your hearts and minds this morning. Is that what that verse means? That we can go and pass a tract out and it won't return void? I believe that this is meaning more than that. I believe this is meaning when that word comes to your heart, it will fulfill that for which it was purposed for. Yes, it's true. The written word is powerful. And somebody can pick up a tract and read it and their life would be changed by the Spirit of the living God. But it will not be changed until the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to that sinner's heart in New York City. Then, when that Word goes out into that sinner's heart, it will not return void. And brothers and sisters, we need to look at the Word of God the same way. Many, many times we read the Bible and we wonder why the Word is returning void and it's not changing us and it's not directing our lives and it's not enlivening us as we read it. I tell you, it's because it's not proceeding out of the mouth of God. We're just reading it. We're just reading it. And God needs to be in it. You read the Word of God in the Spirit of God. And that word will be just like is described here in verse 10. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Oh, those are beautiful words to our hearts this morning as we think about this whole matter of quiet time. See, that's what we need, brothers and sisters. First, you need to get right with God. Then you need quiet time. You need time alone with God, where God speaks to you. You'll come out of there strengthened. You'll come out of there with direction. You'll come out of your closet with a spring in your step. But God must speak to you. God speaks to His people today. God, by His Spirit, He speaks to His people. And then look at the results. They're beautiful. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You know what I think that means? You've heard people give their testimony of being born again, and they walked outside the next day, and the sky was bluer than it ever was, and the trees were greener than they ever were, and everything was just beautiful. Was it? Did it change? No. His heart changed. Her heart changed. And all of a sudden, they saw the glory of God's creation in the light of the God who was living inside of them. And it was beautiful everywhere. And it just seemed like the trees were clapping their hands in praise to God. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Oh, that's beautiful. Again, it speaks of fruitfulness. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. John 15 would say He wants us to bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And here, in just another way, God is saying the same thing to us in just another way. But He's telling us how to be fruitful. He's telling us what a blessing it will be if we're fruitful. And He's telling us that the end result will be, it shall be to the Lord for a name. God will get a name out of that. You give yourself to God today and seek His face in His Word, that you might get something fresh. Some living water, a fresh piece of bread, a fresh glass of milk, some new wine. If you get that from God, God will put a blessing upon your life, and it will be to Him a name. God will be glorified through your life. That's what we're here for. That's it. To enjoy God, to glorify God, and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we're here for. That's it. That's the bottom line of the whole thing. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? Why are you spending so much time on the things that aren't going to do anything to you? I believe that's what God is saying to us. Yes, to the lost man out here in heathendom, He says to him, you're going your own way and you're doing the same thing, but oh, could we take this message to heart this morning as God's people and recognize that we also maybe need to change our priorities? Do something else with our time? Young people, maybe we need to do something else with our time. When I look at verses like this and I look at you young people, I say, you are rich. You are rich. My! You have so much more time. You are rich. You are wealthy children. Each and every one of you are wealthy. What are you buying with your time? What are you buying with your time? Oh, let us buy the truth and sell it not. Let us buy the truth and sell it not. Let us spend the time on God and the riches of our inheritance in Christ Jesus,
these things, they will last and last and last. Let's kneel together for prayer. Oh, Father, this morning in Jesus' name, with joy we draw water out of the wells of salvation, O God. We thank You for the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Thank You, dear God, for providing a platform for man to come to God through the everlasting covenant of the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my Father, I thank You for these sweet words that have fallen upon our ears, the ears of our hearts this morning. God, I pray, let them be like the dew of heaven that waters our heart and causes the seeds of the Word to grow deep within us, God. Father, I pray, Lord, You know where we are. You know what kind of people we are. You know where we live. And Lord, You know we need to hear verses and messages like this, God. There's so many good things to do, Lord. The good things are killing us. Oh, God, deliver us from the good things, Lord, that we might have time for the best. Father, help us to feed our never-dying souls, Lord. God, I pray that You cause this Word to be enlivened in the hearts of Your people, even as we read in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Denny. That makes sense. I don't think that chapter will ever be the same to me. It makes sense. That has a devotional application that may be its primary application. My heart is blessed. Rich food for meditation. My, what you can squeeze out of an Old Testament chapter that is so rich concerning our lives. Well, I need to chew on that one in a while. All right.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.